Hi, Cindy.
Will all who wish to please join me in a moment of silence to do it with as you wish, then followed by the Serenity Prayer. Individuals who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from workaholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop working compulsively. There are no dues or fees for WA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. WA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stop working compulsively and
both sets of workaholics and addicts want the admitted we are powerless over work that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood God. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wounds. 6, became entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we have harmed and came in to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when you do so within truth and reality.
I'm just too sleepy.
10, continue to take personal inventories. When we're wrong, we've admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, try to carry this message to workaholics and practice the principles in all our kids.
Thank you.
I wanted to read, so mine was right in 10.
Self-reliance failed us. Self-reliance is good as far as it goes, but it doesn't go far enough. Some of us once had self-confidence, but it didn't solve our problem or any other problem fully. We have felt a need and have been seeking an answer to our dilemma. We have realized that our work obsession is only the outward manifestation of our inner emotional turmoil and our essential spiritual disconnection. We who are recovering from the destructive consequences of work addiction understand, as perhaps few others can, the fear, depression, anxiety, and loneliness of being a workaholic. We are learning that the praise we get from others, our desire to get lost in our frantic behavior, and our sixth sense of needing to avoid or accomplish goals are all processes we use to escape the reality that we cannot completely control our life or our experience. We are learning that we can never get enough praise, money, or get enough accomplished to truly feel good about ourselves. That workaholism is a disease, and like all other addictive diseases, it is progressive and fatal if not arrested. We are also learning that recovery is possible. We learn to notice and identify our bottom line behavior. Unlike most chemical addictions, work addiction does not allow us to simply stop working and still survive. With higher powers' assistance, by defining our personal bottom line behaviors, we can begin to notice when we are actively using work, and we can stop and pray, or call a fellow recovering addict for support. We experience the healing of the Workaholics Anonymous program. Our stories share what we were like before recovery, how we got into recovery, and what we are like now. We hope you decide you want to have what we have and are willing to join us at meetings, reading our literature, and practicing our steps of recovery.
Lash. You looking at me?
Yes.
Gordon.
Right. Gordon.
Thank you, Gordon.
Gordon. Would you like spontaneity, creativity, and
WA tools of recovery. Listen. We set aside time each day for prayer and meditation. Before accepting any commitments, we ask our higher power and WA friends for guidance. Prioritize it. We decide which are the most important things. We just got bifocal, so we're used to this. To do first. Sometimes that will mean doing nothing. We strive to stay flexible to events. Reorganizing our priorities as needed. We view interruptions and accidents as opportunities for growth. I'd like to comment briefly on listening. I went on a spiritual retreat in June. One of the things they concentrated on was setting aside a time each day for prayer. And I said, man, that's WA says to do that. I haven't been doing it. So every morning after I wake up, I go out immediately. There's a creek in front of my house. I live in the city. It's there. It's a bench. I don't take a watch. I don't take a cell phone. I just go out and read or meditate until I feel that it's time to go in. And it really helped us to slow me down before the day starts.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that. It doesn't matter.
I'd like to add to that. One of the very first things that started to work for me was, strangely enough, connected a little bit to procrastination. But I would wake up in the morning. I used to wake up in the morning running, because I had already planned the night before what I was going to do, and I just out of there. But the thing I started doing was, in the morning, I would sit there and think about, well, what is it I have to do? And can I put that off for another day? Would it make any difference? In almost every case, I could put off all of it. It didn't make any difference whether I did it today or tomorrow or really, in a way, never. And what that did was it slowed me down and it put me in a position of making a choice rather than just barging ahead, charging ahead, and not making any choices and being compulsive. Thanks.
Thank you.
Substituting. We do not add a new activity without eliminating from our schedule one that demands equivalent time and energy. Under scheduling, we allow more time than we think we need for a task or trip, allowing a comfortable margin to accommodate the unexpected.
Playing. We schedule time for play, refusing to let ourselves work nonstop. We do not make our play into a work project. And concentrating, we do try to do one thing at a time. I think I'll focus on the tool of playing. As has been mentioned before, it's very difficult for me to do that because I own my own business and I work from a home office. So it's very easy to just work from the moment I get up, go sit in front of the computer until I drop to sleep, in front of my computer. But my husband and I, we do enjoy playing a type of board game, railroad board games. But unfortunately, I would say that we make work out of it. I mean, I just leave my obsession of the computer and transfer it, and I get into the game, and then I get all, stressed about succeeding in the game, as if it matters. And so I can't say that I actually relax doing that either.
I'm Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Pacing. We work at a comfortable pace and rest before we get tired. To remind ourselves, we check our level of energy before proceeding to our next activity. We do not get wound up in our work, so we don't have to unwind. Relaxing. We do not yield to pressure from others or attempt to pressure others. We remain alert to the people and situations that trigger feelings of pressure in us. We become aware of our own actions, words, body sensations, and feelings that tell us we are responding with pressure. When we feel energy building up, we stop, we reconnect with our higher power and others around us. Well, that piece, the relaxing piece, I guess drums up in me a realization that when I get home from my daytime work, I come home to school-age kids, and homework begins, and I'm really clear that there are times when I just want that stuff to be done. I don't really care if they're learning it. I want it to just be done. And so theoretically, we can get on to something more fun. But I think that the applying of pressure is something that I probably do in that scenario pretty often. And so it's, I guess, helpful for me to be thinking about this part that says, we do not yield to pressure from others or attempt to pressure others.
Accepting. We accept the outcomes of our endeavors, whatever the results, whatever the timing. We know that impatience, rushing, and insisting on perfect results only slow down our recovery. We are gentle with our efforts, knowing that our new way of living requires much practice. Just sitting here, I was mindful of my impatience. And I wanted to get up and organize the whole thing. Hi, this is my first WA meeting, you know? Yeah, so I just had to let go and forgive myself for that and come back and just really open my heart.
Thanks.
Asking, we admit our weaknesses and mistakes. We realize we don't have to do everything ourselves, and we ask our higher power and others for help. Meetings. We attend WA meetings to learn how the fellowship works and to share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. I'm Matthew, I'm a workaholic. I'd like to go back to the scheduling issue to a lot more time than we think we need for a task or trip. I came out here a 4,000 mile route by way of San Francisco, and I came a day and a half early to make sure that either the airline or I would cause me to be late to the meeting. And I just about was late to the meeting. I barely got here in time for the end of the goodies yesterday, and you know, time for a meal. Because I added a tourism routine on Thursday after I arrived and Friday. So had a great tourism experience, but this is a perfect example of what I think of as my serial workaholism. I'm retired, so it's very easy for me to see where I am still being workaholic with a whole new stage to perform on. And I have filled up my life with this, that, and the other thing, more than I can possibly handle. Enter stage right procrastination. And my serial workaholism is matched by my serial procrastination. And I mean, I'd like to, maybe I will write a white paper on procrastination from the point of view of a workaholic. Because I procrastinate sometimes on beginning things and sometimes on finishing things. And I have, one of the things I'm trying to do following the tool is to not start something unless I will finish it. And that leads me to procrastinate starting things, and that can either be viewed as good or unhealthy. And I do it both ways, item to item. I also am a stasher. I stash not bottles of booze, but work projects. And I have a house, a garage, a car, and a head full of stash. And I've begun to clear some of it out. Some of it literally goes to the recycle center, and some of it goes to the dumpster up there. They're through with, but, you know, have useful life. And aside from a lot of plastic junk toys, there are books. There are complete sets of encyclopedias. You could start a library in 6 months with the books that are put there to be thrown away. So people are in there, me included, you know, picking out books. I've got two big piles of books in my den of things I want to get to read, because I thought I'd like to read them someday, but I can't quite get to it yet. But I'm not workaholic much, just a little. Thank you.